His respected viewers, I'm George from Ireland, and I wish to assure you I'm not English, notwithstanding the hat, but I'm wearing it partly because it's chilly inside. But the other thing is, though I'm a Republic of Ireland fan, England is almost Ireland. I regard the English as a reject Irish. Anyway, and the English just were kicked out of the World Cup by France, another team I like. But anyway, so to be sympathetic to the underdog. But back to the completely unrelated topic of this video, and that is to assess how effective sanctions have been against Russia, because here we are almost 10 months into this illegal war of aggression the Putin regime is waging against a democracy which has never done a bit of harm to Russia until it was impelled to do so for self-defense. anyway, so it's time to take stock, because every informed person said these sanctions, they don't bite immediately. It takes a significant period before they're felt, because you refuse to sell a certain item, they've already got that item in stock, they will run out of that after a while, and indeed they are running out of it. But you probably want the summary up front. In effect, the sanctions are only somewhat effective. They're not crushing the life out of the Russian economy. They are being a problem for the Russian economy. The Ruskies have been fairly good at circumventing them. And the EU, as we're going to see, is going to make more strenuous efforts to stop other countries' facilitation of these workarounds, which allows Russia to largely evade the impact of sanctions. anyway, so they certainly haven't brought the country to its knees, as some overly optimistic people said. I think that was a fantasy to say it'd be brought down. I said right at the beginning that far poorer and smaller countries have survived first sanctions which are much more severe for decades. You think of North Korea, you think of Saddam Hussein's Iraq, look at Iran right now. And I know Iran is facing major headaches. It's one of the things driving these protests. It's not just the murder of that young woman for not wearing a hijab, but there really is economic suffering. And Russia doesn't want to end up in the same boat that Iran could be, because that could lead to mass unrest, the kind of disorder that could even bring down the Putin regime. At the moment, it doesn't look like the Iranian regime is actually close to falling, but it does have a major problem in its hands. Anyway, so Russia is now one of the most sanctioned countries in the world. Probably only Iran and North Korea would be more heavily sanctioned than Russia is. So they've got restricted access to various items. And these are food items. The internet is slower, although in some ways that's welcome to the regime, because it's harder for the public to access information rather than the disinformation, the diet of lies that people are force-fed. But the willing deglutition of such lies by many Ruskies is dispiriting. But remember, something like 90% of the brain is subconscious, and if you're told a lie often enough, you will believe it. Right, that is why most people think in North Korea that the sun shines out the, Kim Jong-un's proverbial and so on. They don't have enough buses, for example, crematoria in Russia. Sometimes they don't have the equipment they need, the chemicals they need to dispose of human corpses. For example, they can't get the sort of chocolates and sweets they want. Some factories can't get the ingredients they need. Okay, they can live without that. And there's equipment they used to buy from European Union countries and the United Kingdom. So as I say, the internet has slowed down. Nokia and Ericsson, I think it's the Finnish and a Swedish telecommunications giant respectively, they've left the country. So the 3G network has got worse. So they're trying to use LTE cellular services, but it's not going to work very well. So their knowledge economy, communications, that's going to be problematic. I talked about a crematoria being affected, but they can live without that. They've got enough land in which to bury people, for example. Buses, and this is a country where not that many people have cars, considering how economically developed it is. So particularly the working class, particularly people in the countryside. So that's going to affect the economy as well. And then fewer people are going to be able to afford cars. that's the thing. Because they just don't have the things that they need, the components they need. They can manufacture buses, but often there's certain imported components, ball bearings, for instance, like that. The new ID card. They were going to update the identity card, or I should say passport. They actually called it an internal passport. I remember an Azerbaijani woman said, "Give me your international passport." I thought, all passports are international. In former Soviet countries, your ID card, as in for traveling around the country, that's actually called a passport. There's an internal passport and an international passport. And it was due to be a new digital system. But they don't have the chips they need and the plastic they need to make these things. So you're going to have to stay with a relatively low-tech card, although that actually saves the money as well. But, you know, there's a control-free society where state surveillance is really, how would I say it, pervasive, is all-seeing, is sort of a panopticon Russia. So it's actually frustrated Putin's control-free tendencies, his desire to spy on his people, to have full-spectrum surveillance. There's no such thing as a right to privacy there. Anyway, so in upmarket shopping centres, and there are a lot of empty shop units, there are vacant spaces in some of the high-rise office buildings because a lot of foreign companies have left the country. And then the Russian competitors often can't afford to rent the office space, so it's not good being an office space estate agent at the moment. So they said in Moscow, 17% of the, there's been a 17% increase in vacant space in shopping centres. And so that's noticed by upper middle class Muscovites. There's a lot of people are not really affected by the war because they don't get drafted. So that's a bad news. And it's only going to increase. And 12% of office buildings in Moscow will be empty. And that's the richest city in Russia. And that's the most foreign influenced. In the poorer cities won't be having such a big impact. There weren't so many foreign firms to begin with. And the pilots are not being properly trained. Now, because they were going to be trained by Turkish Airlines, and then Turkish Airlines said they're not going to let Russian pilots use their simulation training devices. Go back to Aeroflot in the 90s, known as Aeroflop, had about the world's worst safety record. It actually became really good by the 2010s, or 2010s, I should say. Turkish Airlines doesn't want to help Russian Airlines too much, lest Turkish fall victim to the EU's aviation safety agency. There can be secondary sanctions. If you facilitate the Ruskies, then you can't fly in our airspace. And the European Union is a massive market for Turkish Airlines. We are Turkish Airlines. We are globally yours. I remember the days in the Türk Hava Yolları, which just means Turkish Airlines. They can't actually get some of the flight simulation equipment in Russia unless Turkey lets them have them. So they might be getting more crashes. So all this is an irritant for Moscow. It's certainly inconvenient. It is shrinking their economy, but not so much as to bring them down. A lot more needs to be done. The European Union has just appointed Mr. O'Sullivan, an Irishman. Hooray! Who's in charge of this new program to ensure that there really is conformity to the sanctions and to penalise countries like Turkey and Serbia that they suspect are turning Nelson's eye to sanctions busting, are purchasing items and then selling them on to Russia and indeed Belarus, which is against sanctions. So they themselves will be sanctioned if they don't cooperate. Other former Soviet countries like Armenia, possibly Kazakhstan. Armenia is very economically dependent on Russia. They can't afford to refuse a Russian request. The very poor former Soviet states like Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan, they desperately need Russian cooperation. A significant percentage of their economy comes from remittances from guest workers in Russia. In Tajikistan, something like 30% of the economy. If the Ruskies don't give them work visas, they're screwed. They're a poor country anyway. They'll starve. So you can't blame them. We're going to do whatever it takes to survive. So buying things and selling them on. Right. Thank you. You donate on Patreon. Sorry, donate on PayPal and subscribe on Patreon. Goodbye.